So the question, if what would my personal coach's advice be to myself? If I was my own personal coach, what would my advice be? That's the question. I want to know, why is this question important?
It takes the focus off the activities you're doing and focuses it, makes you focus on yourself and what you can change in yourself.
Okay.
To produce results.
I think it makes you have it, like, helps you think about it. I mean, it's hard for me to do, but, like, think outside of yourself. If I was looking at someone else, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually do feel like when I see other people, I have suggestions, or it's kind of obvious to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, you need to do this. So it's kind of good to take a second and be like, what am I doing that maybe is obvious to others that I need to change?
Yeah.
Or not doing.
Self-awareness.
Okay. I mean, that's what it is, but, yeah. Like, what? Why is that important?
Well, like what Audrey is saying, a lot of times we see things in other people, but we don't want to look at ourselves and see the things in ourselves that need to be changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it kind of helps us to realize that.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Or sometimes we see it, but we just don't want to actually acknowledge it. And so, like, it kind of forces you to be like, yeah, okay. Like, I really do have to address this. Like, that's, at least for me, like, as I've been doing it, like, that's how I kind of have been utilizing that part of it. So, like, okay, like, I know what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like, oh, if somebody else tells me to do it, then I know, like, I'm going to do it. So it kind of makes you take initiative to do it.
Mm. Uh-huh. Okay. That's it. I actually like that better. Where'd that... I could take all that out and just say self-initiative. Okay. Anybody else? How about this? Kind of goes with self-initiative, but personal responsibility.
I was gonna say, like, just picture learning mode never being like set. I'm like, I've got this, I'm good.
Just stay the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really important. I think a lot of times the information's there. We're not taking the personal responsibility of the initiative to actually go uncover it. I find that for a lot of us, unknowingly, we're mentally, and I'm not trying to be rude here, but for most people, we're mentally just lazy. We want other people to think for us. And so... Yeah, we spend, sometimes people spend an inordinate amount of money to, you know, hire someone to basically get inside of their head and think for them. And sometimes that's needed, right? But I think sometimes a lot of that can be avoided by just taking time and digging in ourselves and uncovering what's there. Again, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I just think that what I'm actually trying to say is I think we're all smarter than what we give ourselves credit for. I think that there's a lot that we have inside of us that if we would take time to uncover it, we could find it and then we could start putting it to use. So I think that this question that's on this form, I think is really, really, really smart. And I think that we should really lean into it and take time and process it. And so I got some thoughts that I want to share with you this morning, just basically on this idea of personal development, because that's really what that question's all about. It's just a big question about personal development. So what are some ways that, we'll just do some more kind of Q&A. What are some ways that you guys are currently, or if you are your own personal coach, you would encourage yourself to practice personal development?
I listen to lots of podcasts.
Okay. Podcasts are awesome. Great. Okay, so we'll take this off.
That for me is like an easy way to absorb information.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's easier for me than reading.
What kind of podcast do you like to listen to?
There's a few. Sometimes I get bored. It just depends on what I'm doing, what I want to learn about.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a kids ministry podcast I like to listen to. There's like a current events podcast I listen to.
You were listening a while back. You were listening to one of like Women in Ministry.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was a good one. Mike Winger. Yeah.
I'm listening to the Mormon one.
Oh yeah, I've been listening to Mormon Cult. All about Mormonism.
Oh my
god. Like 8-part series. Yeah.
That's some serious stuff.
Kind of fun because there's a lot of stuff I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that is messed up.
Yeah. All right. What are some other ways?
I mean, obvious one is books.
Yeah.
They kind of go together. I mean, it's whatever you want to listen to or do you want to read it.
You can do audiobooks too.
Yeah.
I love audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we both.
Furthering your education.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Go to school.
At the beginning of the year, God like showed me like that I could like. I mean, I know this is like everyone knows this, but like I just discovered this in a different way, like studying a topic in the Bible and going through like a chapter or a book of the Bible with a certain filter. So basically, like, studying the Bible with, like, intent on a topic or something like that, which was, like, extremely, like, eye-opening and, like, big growth, like, in just in my spiritual life.
Oh, that is
cool. Instead of just reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I don't usually study a ton like that, but that was, like, powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. Okay, any other...
I mean, I think just even increasing your time with the Lord and worship, incorporating new ways of connection, like worship, meditation of scripture, memorizing all of those different ways. Like sometimes we just read and it's like, okay, I'm good, you know, and there's a whole lot more dimension to time with the Lord. So like increasing that with like variety of approaches.
Mm-hmm. I know. I feel like it sounds like so basic,
yeah, but it's
but,
not that easy to do.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, you could do the bare minimum, but
then
you could actually, like, even like prayer time when I'm more specific in my prayers, instead of just being like, I don't know, bring the basic same thing I say all the time, like actually pray very specifically about things.
Mm-hmm.
But nope. Enhancing your time with the Lord is a really
important way to that. Yeah. Or maybe you're having like more like intercessory prayer time or time where you're praying spiritual warfare versus I don't know,
like get out of my house kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hairy.
Because when are you going to say enough is enough? Yeah.
Just few adults this week.
Alright, Darcy, what were you going to say?
Well, for me, because I have problems with focus, I schedule stuff now. Like even on my days off, I'll schedule things. And that's personal development for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's it for anybody else, but it helps me not be in my daydreaming world so much.
I should throw in plan your week in there as well.
Oh,
yeah.
That's like huge.
You schedule time to pray?
Yeah, I schedule time to pray. I schedule time to work out. I schedule time to get up. Like if I have certain tasks that I have to do,
yes.
Even personally, I do it.
Yep.
Journaling. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do that. It's like
okay.
Physical health.
Oh yeah, working out.
No one said that.
Damn, that's a great one.
It's amazing how
they're all on the sheet too.
Yeah.
Just read it.
So we've got a lot of great ideas right here. A lot of great places where, you know, I think that like any one of us could probably take a screenshot of that and, you know, start to put something to use. So I want to share just on being your own personal coach. Here's just a few thoughts. I got three bullet points on being your own personal coach. Because again, I believe that we can get a long, long, long ways with, first of all, there's enough people on this team to where we all probably could invest a little bit into each other. Mm-hmm. Like Audrey's got something that, you know, Randy and Darcy and all of us could pick off of, and Randy's got something that all of us could learn from. Like there's enough people on this team, enough ideas on this team where we could all probably invest into each other. But also I think that, you know, there's enough inside of you, especially through the power of the Holy Spirit, to where, you know, we could dig inside of ourselves and learn a lot from ourselves and also pour a lot into ourselves. And so the first, and this, I got way more content than what I'm going to be able to get to today, so I'm just going to pick one. So my first well, we would be here all day, but my first thought is self-awareness and reflection. And this kind of goes with a lot of what was written here, praying specifically, journaling, living intentionally, all that kind of stuff. But self-awareness, I believe that personal development, being your own personal coach, answering, kind of coming back to my initial thought, is answering that question on that form begins very first thing. You can't get anywhere with that if you are not self-aware. And I think that just from living my own life, let me just speak for myself. That'll be a little bit nicer. Like, I know that I lived most of my life totally unaware of myself. It's partially the way God, it's a byproduct, I guess, maybe a sinful byproduct, I don't know, of how God created me. Very driven, very self-motivated, very visionary focused, always, you know, 5-10 years in the future, you know. And so, you know, that kind of leaves me not being very self-aware. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to know ourselves. So how do you get to know yourself? Well, I think that we can assess our weaknesses, assessing our values, assessing our interests. When we begin to actually know ourselves, we are able to make decisions that align with your purpose. You become more authentic, and knowing ourselves, I think, is easier said than it is done, because we live in a world a lot of times where we respond to things like in a reactive kind of a way. I talked about this a few weeks ago, where, you know, we live responding to something that happened instead of initiating something that is going to happen. For instance, you know, we live maybe out of an offense, or we live out of something that happened to us, you know, 5-10 years ago, or we live responding to, you know, something that somebody did yesterday, and so now we, you know, I'm never going to do that again, and so now we create a future based off of something that happened in the past. But I think that the more that we become self-aware, the more that we understand who we are and become congruent with our own personal values and character, instead of living life, creating a life based off of a past experience, we can actually get into the future and start creating a life based not off of what happened to us, what somebody else did to us, or what we did to ourselves in the past, but we can actually start creating something based off of the purposes and the plans and the character and the values and the DNA that God has given us. So I think that being knowing ourself is more than just, you know, something that we might find in like some kind of self-help book somewhere, but it's actually a biblical thing. You know, that's, I think that's actually part of like what maybe the New Testament is talking about when it talks about like renew the mind. In other words, like wash your mind of all of this, all of these negative thoughts. You know, if you have 80,000 thoughts, you know, on average, 80,000 thoughts a day. And like, I think it was like 40,000 or 39,000 of those psychologists would say that they kind of measured some brainwave activity are negative in nature. So like half of what the American population is thinking is negative. A lot of fear, a lot of fear, a lot of resentment, a lot of bitterness, a lot of self-hate, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, all of that stuff. And you know, yeah, maybe the number is higher, but even if it's 50% of it, I mean, can you imagine living half of your life out of a negative mindset? Well, no wonder. And what is that? That is all, I saw something, and so now I'm afraid of the future. This happened, and so now I'm anxious. This happened once, and it might happen again. So now, you know, all of this stuff. It's so very few times do people actually sit down and get to know ourself. Yeah. And it's kind of funny to think about that you actually might know somebody else better than you know yourself, which is why I think, I can't remember one of you guys and said one of the reasons why this is important is because we look at, I think it was you, Audrey, that said, you know, we can look at somebody else and I can say, oh, you need to fix this, this, and this. And they look back at you and say, yeah, you could probably fix that too. Oh no, I got that. Like, I'm good at that. I've been practicing that. And so they look at you and say, I don't think you've been practicing that at all. And it's because we might actually know somebody else better than we know ourselves. Why is that? Well, you know, I think kind of going, connecting to this one thought that I had, which I think that there's probably many reasons why we do that. But, you know, when we get hurt at somebody, our natural tendency is to think about that hurt a lot. So now I'm giving someone else who hurt me an incredible amount of mental attention. Like, you're actually studying that person. Why did they do that? Well, they did that because this, this, and this, and they just thought that I this and that, and I can't believe, you know, they probably do this, this, and this, and they probably stay awake at night, and they probably read this, and they probably look at that, and they're probably talking to their friends. And it's like, all, they're thinking about, we're thinking about that person a whole lot. What would happen if we thought about ourselves that much? I mean, you know, we're taught, like, you know, get off the eye, and that's all the we. We're taught, like, you know, don't think about yourself. But, and I understand that. Like, we're not being selfish, but we do need to be intentional. We do need to know the person that God has created. So there's a, I think that there is a difference between being selfish and being intentional. There's a difference between like studying yourself, like thinking about yourself for selfish reasons. I want, I need, I wish, I that, versus, you know, sitting in bed maybe at night or waking up early in the morning or taking a lunch break and saying, am I really aware of myself? So to grow in self-awareness, we have to slow down enough to ask some really sometimes hard but life-giving questions. What energizes me? Let me write some of these down. I wanted to have a handout for this, and I just...
The printer didn't run.
I don't know what happened. It just didn't work. What energizes me? So somebody tell me what energizes you. And...
Like, you're talking spiritually, or are you talking Mm-mm. just anything?
Might hobbies. Be spiritual, but
like our hobbies energize.
Yeah, like what? What's one? Tell me.
Hunting.
Okay, there you go.
What about it?
Go shoot a duck.
Shooting a duck.
Is it killing or is it planning? Like,
that's a crazy question. That's a wild
end of that. The duck. Like, he's got intentions, though, right? Like, why do you...
I mean, the intention is to kill the...
No, I mean, like, the whole process.
It's just an experience.
Okay.
Somebody else.
Son.
I like finding new coffee shops.
Oh, yeah. Finding new coffee shops.
Dude. I'm joking.
I love making a plan. Yeah. Having everything organized so that I know exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because then I know it's going to go well. It's going to succeed. I don't know why. That really makes me excited. I love making a plan.
You know, one of the things that energizes me, like when I...
that game of nerds.
Oh, no. That goes right there. What drains me? A game of nerds. One of the things that, like, really energizes me is on, like, just a sunny day, opening the garage door and just cleaning the garage. I don't know why. I really love, just in general, anything. I love seeing something that's, like, broken and not in order being fixed and put back into order. Like, I could literally spend all day just, like, cleaning a pedal for my guitar. You know, like, that kind of stuff just, like, it really energizes. I love it. I feel so happy. So, like, okay, so get to know yourself, right? Like, what actually energizes me? What actually drains me? So somebody just give me, I don't want to talk about this one too long. You can do that one on your own, but okay, big parties drain you. Somebody else.
Always being focused.
Okay, always being focused.
I gotta create.
Right?
Make
fun things.
Clutter. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Clutter's draining.
Draining.
So, like, when you, I think for what's important, and then, you know, when do I feel most alive, right? Like, for me, like, in the sunshine, reading a book on the back porch. Like, so, like, things like this, when we answer these questions, and especially, like, when you take time and actually process this, like, with the Holy Spirit, and then look at your everyday life and say, how am I living according to this? If you find that you are spending 80, 90, I don't know, a large percentage of your day doing what drains you, that might answer a question as to maybe, like, why am I on edge all the time? Or why do I just feel like I'm not thriving a life? Or why do I feel frustrated? Or, you know, whatever. Like, or if life is going great and everything, nothing could be better, maybe it's because you're here and you could actually say to yourself, you know what? I need to make sure that I stay there. I told somebody the other day, I think it was Kay, we were talking about success, and I said the most dangerous thing is actually find yourself in a place of success and not know how you got there. Because eventually you will not be there. And then you won't know how to find your way back to there. Or what did I do that took me out of that season of success? And so it's critical that we actually take time to get to know ourselves. So some things that that you can do is again, like, start thinking about these questions, start maybe journaling on these questions, and think about, like, what patterns are repetitive in my life. Answer the question, like, what are some repetitive patterns? Whatever. You guys know. Sorry, kind of scribble there. Repetitive patterns is what that says. It's just really hard to write when the board's shaking all the time. Just take a second, like, think about your day. Like, what's one thing that you do every single day? Okay, well, every single day, I wake up and I make myself a cup of coffee. I love to do that. It's something that I enjoy. Every single day I do this, and take a look at some of those, maybe a list, like 3 to 5 of repetitive patterns. Every week I do this, or I do this, you know, at least 2 to 3 times, you know, a month? What are some repetitive patterns, and are those healthy or are those unhealthy? And if you find that every single month, once or twice a month, you're having one of your friends over and you have one of them sessions where you just stay up late and are gossiping or are talking about how frustrated I am with this, or man, I wish, you know, like, okay, that might be negative. So what's feeding into that? Like, where is that source of negativity coming from?
Yeah.
And then I can say, well, you know what? I might need to work on that area of my life. Maybe my personal coach would say, hey, Aaron, like, maybe you need to cut that relationship off. Or maybe there's something that's feeding into that relationship that you need to cut off. See, I think that getting to know ourselves is like actually very, very important. So another thing that we can do is assess reactions. Oh, man. Assess reactions. Just the other day, it was the Monday after Easter. I think I can tell this story about our tactical meeting. I'll make it less specific, but I was super frustrated. And really, the issue was I was tired. After Easter, I was wiped out. And so I went into this meeting and was just kind of irritated and just kind of like honestly like lost my temper a little bit. And so I was like, well, that wasn't fun. And, you know, my morning started great. My morning started at Maple Moose and it was awesome. I had a great conversation with a couple people that I knew there, you know, and then I went to this meeting, I go, you know. And so I sat down and I just said to myself, I said, what happened? Like, why? I literally sat down with a notepad. I was like, what happened? And I started realizing, like, you know what? I was tired and my brain didn't want to think and it had to think, but I wasn't prepared. I was not mentally prepared. So I just wrote down on my notepad. I said to myself, I said, you know what? Next Monday, I know this is going to happen. I know I'm going to have to think. So I'm going to wake up in the morning knowledgeable, ready, and prepared for this. And that changes everything. But I had to assess my reactions. I had to go back and actually think, like, what is my brain doing? Like, why am I here? Why was I frustrated? Because so often we just live out of, oh, that meeting's so frustrating. I hate those meetings. Or I don't like doing this, you know, da da da. Or I hate it when I have to do that. Or I don't want to fill out this form. Why do I have to do this, you know? Well, you know what? Maybe you should think as to why you don't want to do it. Because maybe the reason that you don't want to do it is actually what your personal coach would actually tell you to work on. Or maybe your personal coach would say, you know what? When you wake up in the morning and you do this, here's a thought for you. So like 4 Sundays ago, I woke up and I was just wiped out. Like waking up on Sunday wiped out is not good. Because I got to go communicate a lot and I got to go preach a lot and I got to have energy. And so, again, I took some time. And I'm like, what? Let's think about this. So I told Pastor Drex, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to stop drinking coffee on Saturdays because I get like, you know, I get a adrenaline fatigue. Like I overexert adrenaline and that I don't have enough for the next day. And so when I sit down and assess, like, what's happening inside of myself? What did I do? What can I do to make that better? Well, then my own personal coach would say, you need to stop drinking coffee on Saturday because you're overexerting your adrenaline, and then you have a hard time sleeping, and then you only get 4 hours of sleep, and then you wake up tired. So self-awareness is not just about navel gazing. This is what I wrote down. Like, you know, I think about myself. I wish, I want, I need. No, it's not that at all. And it's not self-indulgence. It's about stewardship. That's a word that we use a lot on this team. It's about stewardship. God gave you something called life. And every single one of us have a responsibility to do something great with it.
Can't quote a movie. Find out who you are and do it on purpose.
There you go. Find who you are and do it on purpose. And so often we find out who other people are. And that is a part of our job. As pastors, it's a part of our job to help people, right? Like, I want, you know, one of the things that I love doing in life, and it's for some of you, it's part of the reason why you're here, is I love seeing God's call on your life and then saying, can I be a part of your story? I want to be a part of your story. I want to be a part of helping you achieve all that God has called you to achieve. But sometimes in our great desire, I was just talking with a friend of mine the other day, asking him to counsel a friend of mine. And he said, Aaron, he's like, I am my own worst enemy because I love people so much that I'll overcommit. And sometimes we do the very same thing. Like, we love people and we love them so much that we forget that we also have a responsibility to steward our own life. And sometimes the greatest thing that we can do to steward our own life is, you know, and say, you know what? I need to get to know myself. I need to date myself. You know, if I was somebody else and I was just getting to know me and I had interest in dating and marrying me, sounds kind of weird, right? Like, what kind of questions would I ask? Like, what energizes you the most? Like, you seem really tired. Does going to the mall and, you know, being around 30,000 people, does that drain you? Yeah, I hate that. Oh, well, maybe we won't do that on our next date. Like, you know, like, think, like, why do you do that all the time? I notice that you're always doing this. Like, well, I don't know. I just have a habit of doing that. Well, where did that come? You know, like, what... If you were to date yourself, like, what were some of the questions that you would ask? Get to know yourself. Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. Is this helping us get anywhere? Mm-hmm. Like, I told you guys I have way too much content for today, so I'm just going to blow by a couple. I'm going to, let's see here.
You literally have another hour.
I have another hour?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You do.
So I'm not going to keep you guys here for another hour. But I am going to try to make
my...
Okay.
I was going to say, if we talk after, it might...
Just talk. This is interesting.
Yeah. Okay. One last thought on this point here. Here's something I wrote down. Ask yourself regularly this question. Am I living true to who I am, or am I performing for approval?
That's a good one. Bam! We can all go home now.
I feel like you just slapped people.
Am I living true to who I am, or am I performing for approval? Mm-hmm. So several years ago, a friend of mine, Walter Madison, asked me a similar question. I had just stepped down from the house church. I had been working at Tone Proper for a bit, really wanted to go back into pastoral ministry, and honestly just really wanted to work at Manor House. So I'd applied for a couple jobs there, and instead of hiring from the outside, I did some internal transfers, which is probably best for them. And so Walter took me out to coffee, and he said, you know, I really want to help you find your place on the Manor House team. He said, so let's just talk. And I said, okay, one of the questions he asked me, he says, what do you love doing most in regards to pastoral ministry? So I told him I love preaching. And he looked at me and he said, even if you came on staff today, you're 5 years away from preaching anywhere in this church. He's like, we just don't move anybody that fast. And I get that, right?
Right.
So he asked me, he said, what about preaching energizes you the most? And so I started telling them, like, I just love, like, connecting with the crowd. I like seeing the responses. I love hearing the laughter when I tell a story and things like that. And he pinpointed something that I had never realized. He says, it's highly possible. He says, I want you to think about this. He said, but it's highly possible that you may be preaching for approval. He says if you get energized, if there is actually like a sense of affirmation or approval or value that is received when you say something and somebody says, amen, or you tell something and they start laughing and you feel like, okay, that's good. He says that is a negative sign that you might be receiving affirmation and value from the crowd, which is dangerous, he says, because then you'll never truly be able to preach the word that God gives you. Because you'll always be tainted by, well, what if they don't like it? Or what if they don't want to hear it? And it really, really caused me to think, and Stella would tell you that after that day, I lived my life just a little bit different. Because I realized my value has to come from God. And my value in my ministry has to come from God. Success, and this is what he said, this is another thing that he said, and I've said this many times in this group before. Success is obedience followed by fruit. And sometimes you don't even see the fruit right away. So you just got to be obedient.
There might not be any wins that week, but if you did win that, I told you to do.
So these are like, again, one of those things that as we're just, if I were to be my own personal coach, if I were to be my own self-help critic, right? Like, I think I would need to sit down here and begin by just getting to know myself. Because truthfully, we hired a coach a while back to help us with the vision and the direction of the church, because we were having a hard time kind of getting there. And you guys might remember that. That's when we went through the whole gospel in every home, and we create irresistible environments where people meet with God, right? And the funny thing is what that coach did is they asked a whole lot of questions. And so really it was there. And she told us this from the very start. She said, the vision is in you. It's already there. She said, my job is to draw it out. There's stuff that's cluttering it. There's muck in the water. Like there's too much a history that you're attached to from, you know, being under previous administration. And so she said, it's like my job is literally to help clear all that out so that you can see what's already there. And so what we're doing is basically kind of a similar thing, is how can you personally, between you and the Holy Spirit, clear some of this clutter away and get to know yourself so that you can live an authentic, congruent life and answer the question, what is my next step? What would my personal coach tell me that I need to do? So a second thing is, okay, so the first is get to know yourself. That was all under point number one.
Yeah, I made them 7 points already.
And the second is, and we've talked about this already before, but journal. Mm-hmm. Like, take time and journal. Write down your thoughts. Writing your thoughts and feelings is a very powerful way to gain insight into your behavior, into your motives. It's kind of like a living with a personal mirror. It's a mirror that sees inside of your soul. It just doesn't see how well you did your hair that day. I say this, and I think I've said this to you before, but I really genuinely believe, and I genuinely believe this, that when I get my pen onto the paper in a heart posture of worship to God, my pen becomes a prophetic instrument. And this has happened so many times. And I, even just in my own Bible study, Lord, I just don't feel like God's saying anything. He says, get out your pen. I get out my pen and I'll sit. And he says, what verse stood out to you? Well, this one stood out, you know, so I write that verse. And then all of a sudden, like I'm halfway through writing the verse and I'm like, oh my word. Like I can't write fast enough, you know, like 30 seconds before I had nothing to say, but I process it with the Holy Spirit. I put my pen to the paper and all of a sudden it's just like stuff starts to flow. And I think journaling. I grew up with the thought that journaling is a girly thing to do. Like, only girls have journals, right? Like,
I would say history says otherwise.
Yes, I would definitely say that. But I think that, like, if you were to survey, you know, 50 men, you might find one or two that actually journal. And so, because I think that a lot of times we're just guys that just do it. You know, we just do things like, oh, I just want to get out and I want to build that thing, or I want to tear that thing apart, or I want to work in the lawn, or I want to do something. And so what happens, at least for my own self, I can tell you for my own self, I blow by life. A whole lot of stuff is happening and I'm not processing any of it until I get to a moment where I'm like over capacity and I blow up and I explode and I just get frustrated and I'm like, I just need to get alone. I need time alone. And then at that point, you know, it's like, well, what happened? Well, we don't know what happened until we get a pen out and start us actually communicating with ourselves. And so I think that journaling on a regular basis is a really powerful way to process with the Holy Spirit our own life. And a lot can come out of this very simple practice. So you'll begin to notice patterns. You'll begin to understand how you respond when pressure pushes on your life. You'll start to understand what kind of fears are showing up in certain situations. You begin to understand how relationships can positively or negatively impact your mood, even your own self-worth. You begin to understand that this is not a document, but this is actually a form of internal communication. It's about asking yourself, what happened in that moment and what can I learn from it? And so I would say, if I was your personal coach today, I would say, start a journal, and at least three times a week, just take a half an hour, 20 minutes alone with the Holy Spirit as a part of your own. You could even throw this in your own just time alone with Jesus. Extend that time alone with Jesus by just a few extra minutes. Get a pen and paper and start just processing. Like, Lord, that really hurt when that person said that. Or I woke up this morning and I just already feel blah and I'm only 20 minutes into my day, or at the end of the day, you know, this happened at work and I didn't like it, or I have to do this every day at work and I absolutely hate it and I feel so drained, or I've just been in a season where I feel really negative about myself, or I just feel like I'm never good enough. Write. Just communicate with yourself. And I think it's actually interesting when you go back, like, you know, I've got a whole bunch of journals, and it's interesting as I go back, like, you know, I think I started in 2021. So going back to 2021 and reading, like, wow, that was really powerful. Or, wow, that was kind of silly. I was kind of immature at that moment. So, okay, here's some prompting thoughts. I won't write these down. I'll just tell them to you because they're kind of long. I don't think I have enough space up there. Here's some thoughts. What emotions have I felt most often this week, and what might be causing it? I feel overwhelmed all week long, or at least two times this week. I felt overwhelmed. What's causing that? Or I just feel really negative. I actually texted my prayer team this morning, like, I just need prayer. I feel emotionally down. I have ever since Sunday, you know. I was like, maybe this is the Elijah attack, you know. Like, I preached on the Jezebel spirit, and now all of a sudden I want to go hide in a cave, you know. like just emotionally, like, what's going on in your life, and what might be causing it? And actually that thought alone, like, actually gave me a great amount of peace, because I was like, like emotionally, sometimes I never realized this until I actually read this book. It's right up there on the top of the shelf. It's called My Name is Hope. It's by John Mark Comer. It is like $65 on Amazon, which I don't know why, but if you have $65 to buy a book, that's the one to spend $65 on. It is a very, very good book. I had no idea that I dealt with anxiety until I read that book. And sometimes I do. And what I realized is that when I battle anxiety, my only way to process it, and just because of my previous life, is that I've done something sinful. When we can assess, like, this is what's going on. This is what I'm feeling. So, like, you know, I woke up Monday morning feeling anxiety in my chest, like right up in here. Okay, now I know, right? Now I know, right? Like, I'm not living in sin. You know, I haven't done anything bad. I haven't done anything sinful. I haven't done anything that, like, I need to go, you know, have a, like, repentance session for. But however, I did preach a really tough message, and I laid my soul bare in front of, like, 500 people. And just maybe the enemy hates that. And this is a spiritual attack. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know that if I don't take time to process that with the Holy Spirit. But what will happen if I don't take time to process that with the Holy Spirit is I'll just be short-tempered and a little bit cross with everybody who's around me. Yeah. But now that I know what I'm going through, I can have grace for myself and I can understand that this is going to come to pass. Mm-hmm. So... that was a really long, okay. So the second one, where have I felt most connected to my purpose? That's a great thought just to journal about. When did I feel most connected to my purpose? Well, I took this person out and we did Purple Book, and, he came home the other day. I think it was your first day of doing Purple Book. And he was like, just glowing like a light bulb, you know, it was like, okay. Clayton had a great day. So tell me about it. Well, I did Purple Book and we did this and he was so much fun. I think I have, you know, this and okay. So like that's a great thing to write about. Why? Because, well, first of all, when we write, we also remember. But secondly, you might go back in another season and reread that and be like, this is why I feel so disconnected. I'm not partnering with my purpose. What am I avoiding right now and why? Like, it could be a task. I got to stop avoiding that. I just got to go do that. I can't avoid that any longer. What's one thing that I'm proud of today? I think that might be on your Win the Week questionnaire. I don't know if it is. I feel like it is. What am I proud of today? I got a 90 on my exam. You should be proud of that all week, right? When and where did I feel the presence of God, or where did I miss it? Ouch.
Sorry.
That's a tough question. Yeah.
Can I share 2 seconds? Mm-hmm. Hold on. Can you repeat the thing?
Where did I feel the presence of God, or where did I miss it?
So, it was when I was emceeing one day. And you guys always say, if you feel something in the service, even if you're on stage, come talk to one of us. And so that was a big thing, because for me, you know, you don't do that. Like, that's not proper stage etiquette, for my mind, in my way of thinking. But I remember standing up there, and I remember closing my eyes and just as we were worshiping, and then I opened them, and I'm like, God, I don't feel like we're done yet. Because I felt different. It felt not finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, okay, I'm supposed to step into this, but what am I supposed to do right now? And so then I feel like we need to continue. And then I looked down at you like, look at me. Look at Aaron. Look at me, please. Tell me. And then I see that his eyes are closed. And I'm like, oh, okay, so maybe what I'm feeling is right. So I went over to Stella. And I probably did it really goofy, but I went over to Stella and I was like, I don't think we're done worshiping yet. And she goes, okay. And so then I continued on in that. So that was a really, I felt the difference. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. It was different.
Yeah.
So I that's all I can say.
You know, I think that, like, we love celebrating. Like, mm-hmm. Every human in a healthy mental, emotional condition loves to celebrate. But so often, We're just busy. Mm-hmm. Not just at LFC, but everywhere. Everybody is busy. Mm-hmm. And we blow by these moments where we should be celebrating, and we just move on to the next thing. And maybe one of the reasons why we're so stressed out, maybe one of the reasons why sometimes we find ourselves in an emotionally unhealthy condition, is because we don't celebrate enough. We don't, you know, like, think about, like, I can remember all the way back to my, like, third or fifth birthday. I don't know, somewhere around in there. I don't remember which one it was. I just remember, like, sitting, we were in Olympia, Washington, we had this little bar stool thing, and I just remember sitting on the stool being like, Mom, one of my friends coming over. She's like, 2 o'clock, you know? And I'm like, it's like 10 o'clock, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, being so excited. And then I remember the birthday where, because my birthday is December 16th, so it's very close to Christmas. So they took me out and I got a Christmas tree for my birthday. And when all my friends brought over, we put all the gifts underneath the Christmas tree. Like, I remember that. I remember my 10th birthday when I was in Portland. We had just moved there just a few months prior, and all my friends came from Olympia, Washington to my house in Portland. We celebrated there. And, you know, all this stuff, like, I remember these things. Why? Because we celebrated. I remember the very first time that I ran a 10K, 6.2 miles, and I came in first place, and we celebrated. My dad told me I couldn't have Coca-Cola because I had just, he's like, you can't have Coca-Cola after you run 6 miles. Yeah. It's like, okay, whatever. So, like, I remember these things, though, because why? Because we celebrated. And I think that, you know, when things like that happen, like when you partner with the presence of God and something awesome happens, we need to celebrate it.
Yes.
Take yourself out for a cup of coffee, grab a friend and say, hey, you don't have to say, like, hey, I did something really awesome in church today, so we're going to go celebrate, but just go make something fun about it. Because, his little sticky statement, what gets rewarded gets repeated.
Yeah.
And so if you need to reward yourself. I guess that's long story, that long thing right there. So so the goal isn't perfection. The goal is honesty. You just gotta be honest with yourself. And when you're real with yourself and on page with yourself, you're one step closer to becoming the person that you were created to be. And that's what God wants. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, to bring you a future, not to harm you, but to bring you a future and a hope. Interesting thing, you know, we often forget, I've mentioned this a few times, but that's Jeremiah 29:11. You go a few verses above that, Jeremiah 29, I think it's 7 through 10, and what he's talking about, he says, you're in exile. You're in Babylonian exile. But what does he tell him to do in Babylonian exile?
Thrive.
Get a wife.
Plant vineyards, have children, be prosperous.
Celebrate.
Build a home. Says, this is the season you're in. And he even calls. He says, exile. Nobody wants to be in exile. So he's recognizing, like, you know, this is not an okay season. Mm-hmm. But I am in this season. So God is in your, he's in your not okay seasons. He's there. And he says, while you're there, have kids, grab a wife, have a kid, plant vineyards, build a house, do these things. And he's just like, just thrive in the season you are. The goal isn't perfection. The goal is honesty. And if you're honest with yourself and not lying to yourself, you're one step closer to being who God created you to be. Mm-hmm. Israel had to go through the exile season. They had to go through it. So you can lie to yourself, and that's what they tried to do. That's part of the reason why they were there. Why? Well, because they would get these prophets that they would pay them to tell them lies. And, you know, we do the same thing so often. We grab friends that we like. Why? Because they'll tell me what I like to hear. Well, why don't you go grab a friend that will tell you what you don't want to hear?
I do have some of those.
That they actually be honest with you.
The second thing I tell people in a counseling session when they ask, how can I get out of this? I say, instead of doing that, say, what can I get out of this?
Yes.
It's there, the story of Jeremiah. You know,
yes.
It's like you need, it's hard to, but it's like, how can I get out of this? How can I make this go?
Yes.
How can I embrace this?
Yes.
And that's what we're supposed to do. God knows it's there. You know, what mm-hmm. does he want us to get from it?
Yep. Yep.
When he said, when you walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will be with you. Didn't say I'm going to help you not walk through it.
Yes. I'll wrap up with this because I want us to be done today. But I think that the reason, the reason I'm teaching this, the reason I want, I guess we're kind of teaching ourselves this. I feel like there's enough interaction to where we're all just kind of pouring into each other, hopefully. But the reason I think it's so important is this. If Craig Rochelle says this, if you can't lead yourself, you have no business leading anyone else.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's a very, very soul-searching, self-knowing thought. How well do I lead myself? Like, I can tell somebody else what they need to do. I can tell somebody else how to spend time with Jesus. I can tell somebody else, you know, what they need to repent of or how to repent. Or I can counsel someone else on how to get over that issue or how to stop being offended all the time. Or you need to go ask forgiveness from this person or whatever, make that right. But how well am I leading myself? Someone said the other day, a friend tell me, he said, I can't go to that church. I said, why can't you go to that church? He said, because the, this is terrible, but he said, because the pastor is so fat, he can't even preach without sitting on a chair. And I said, that really bothers you? He said, yeah, if he can't be disciplined enough to take care of himself, how is he disciplined enough to help me take care of myself? And, you know, it's a very judgmental thought, right? I mean, there may be a lot of things that are feeding into that, which I just was not even going to get into. But there also is, I think, what's underlying is this. We all want the person helping us to also be helping themselves. That's what I'm getting out of this, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and judge because I don't even know this pastor. I don't know the story. I've never met him. I don't know the church. I don't know any of that. So that's just, we're just throwing that aside, okay? Very judgmental thought. But what we can see out of that is the nature of mankind is, for example, like if somebody's teaching me how to lose weight, I don't want them to be heavier than I am. Why? Well, because I want you to show me. I'm coming to you so that you can teach me how to be like you. So what we know is that leaders need to not just lead people, they need to lead themselves. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Hopefully you guys got that out of that illustration. Y'all stuck on the fact that my the comment about the pastor, but just get past that for a second. So we all want leaders who know how to lead themselves. That's what we want. So here's why we're talking about this, and I think we're going to keep talking about this for a little bit, if you guys will be okay with that, over the next several weeks, is this, is we have to be leaders who are leading ourselves. And that one little question that kind of drove this whole talk and is going to lead our conversation over the next several weeks, what would my own personal coach tell me to do? That whole thing is driven out of this. Are you becoming a better person? Or are you just becoming a harder worker? Like, are you just working harder and hoping that your department or your ministry or the people that you're pastoring will grow? Or are you becoming a better person? Because they're coming to you. Like, you're in the role that you are because people are coming to you. So people are coming to you and they're wanting to be pastored. And everybody wants somebody to help them who's helping themselves. So are you becoming a better person, or are you just becoming a harder worker? Are you just putting more hours into the work week? Okay, now I'm working 45, now I'm working 50, now I'm 50, 55. Or are you truly becoming a better person? Somebody who knows how to steward the presence of the Lord on a more regular basis. Somebody who knows how to lay hands on people and pray. Knows how to navigate the ins and the outs of conflict resolution. Somebody who knows how to all of these different areas of life. Somebody who knows how to help somebody else find their purpose in life and how to connect their purpose to the kingdom of God. Somebody who knows how to say, you know what, you got a roofing company, here's how to make that a kingdom business. Somebody who knows how to say, you got a financial problem, let's dive down and feel some things. You're not tithing, here's why you should tithe. Here, let me teach you for the next little bit on what tithing is. You know what, you're suicidal, let's navigate that. What's driving into you battle depression, anxiety, fear, worry, let's process that with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you're a homosexual. Okay, you're battling homosexual thoughts. Here's how to navigate that in a way that doesn't sound like I'm killing you and crucifying you, but I'm actually drawing you to the cross of Christ. Some of these issues are difficult and hard. And the need for all of us is to become, honestly, just not harder workers, but become the person that God's created us to be. So, I heard the other day say this: if you can't invest in yourself, if you stop investing in yourself, you'll stop investing into your teams. And that's the moment you become the least valuable team player. And so we all need to be growing ourselves. And that's what this question drives right down to. How are you developing? How are you growing? How are you becoming the person God created you to be? So I think this is worth looking into. Hopefully this has been helpful to you guys. And I think this is a really, I don't know, I feel like it's a fun journey. So hopefully it's been encouraging to you guys. And we'll end here. Let's all go ahead and stand up and we'll close in a word of prayer.